The following is a recording for Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation on Tuesday, October 4th, 2016, at 10 a.m. Central. Excuse me, everyone. We now have all of our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of today's presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. Thank you. I would now like to turn the conference over to Bill Thorne. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for joining us for this annual ritual of the holiday forecast. I'm joined today by Matthew Shea, who is the President and CEO of the National Retail Federation, and Jack Kleinhans, who is the National Retail Federation's Chief Economist. I'd like to go ahead and start with Matt to give us some thoughts about what we have projected for 2016. Matt, what do you view as the top takeaways and what's changed since last holiday season?
Thanks, Bill. Good morning, everyone. Thanks all for joining. You obviously have already seen the forecast that we're expecting holiday sales to increase by 3.6% this holiday season. Obviously very encouraged by those numbers, significantly higher than the 10-year average of 2.5%. And we also thought we're far enough away from the recession and deep enough into the recovery, we should look at how that measures up against the 7-year period since then. And even on that basis, the average has been 3.4% since the recovery began in 2009. So we think 3.6% is a very, very solid number. And I guess it's, you know, we pick apart the forecast and kind of the underlying thinking behind that. We're optimistic that this is reflective of the growth in the economy and the expectations across the industry based on what we've experienced so far this year. I mean, this year has not been perfect, starting with a really unseasonably warm winter and a long summer that impacted the retail industry in different ways. But overall, we think this is a realistic number and very reflective of the current environment. And I guess, getting a little deeper into some of the fundamentals of why we think that's the case, first of all, consumers are just in a much stronger position relative to where they've been over the last few years, even compared to last year. Consumers really are doing the heavy lifting, keeping the economy growing. There's been a lot of conversation about, when are we going to see business investment and when are we going to see investment coming from other sectors of the economy. Consumers are the one element of the economy that really looks good. We also know the Consumer Sentiment Index, for example, showed up with revision to 91.2 from 89.8% recently. That index stands at its highest reading since June. In general, consumer behavior, it continues to reflect a fairly rational, cautious tone, I think, by historic standards. But as long as consumers remain confident and continue to spend, the economy will stay on track, really, to grow. And I think that speaks to the ability of consumers to kind of have the right frame of mind, the right attitude. In terms of their ability, I guess, second, they've clearly got more ability than they've had in the past few years. Household net worth hit new all-time record middle of this year. We know wages are growing. Job creation has improved. Inflation is obviously, very tame. And the overall increase in net worth, really means that consumers have greater capacity to spend. So I think the combination of consumer confidence and sort of their attitude and then consumer strength, which is really about their ability, I think those two elements really set the stage for a much brighter holiday season than we've seen for several years. And, I think we have to acknowledge that you know, consumers are aware of and paying attention to the election season, and there are certainly, you know, potential impacts on consumer spending in terms of just the way the airwaves are going to be dominated for basically the next 4.5 or 5 weeks. You know, it's going to be difficult to get messages through on anything other than the election, at least in the near term. But we know that the consumers are already thinking about the holiday season. We know that retailers are well prepared and have formulated, are already starting to talk about the holidays and engaging with consumers. So I would say that in spite of the distraction we think that the election presents, that we're optimistic the pace of the activity across the economy and specifically for holiday spending is going to pick up. And as we look at where this comes from, the 3.6%, you know, that's going to come across the industry, department stores, discount stores, online shopping, grocers. So that'll be distributed, as it always is, across the various segments of the industry. And we're forecasting that non-store sales will increase between 7 and 10%. That's e-commerce as well as other non-store sales, catalog, and other things that don't fit into the four walls of a bricks-and-mortar store. You know, obviously technology is changing how consumers shop, the way they engage with retailers, you know, accessing information about where they're going to be doing their spending and shaping the overall experience. That's certainly going to accelerate this season. And I think that just is one more example of the way in which, you know, consumers really possess substantial amounts of information here and power that makes it incumbent upon retailers to find new ways to engage with really customized, personalized, meaningful kinds of opportunities in order to make customers and shoppers feel like that's the retailer for them. You know, you all know what the basis for this forecast is. I'll just you know, restate what will be in the materials you've already seen, and you can talk to Jack about more of this. But, you know, this is a forecast done based on our economic model that uses a variety of indicators that measure both the things I talked about, consumer confidence and consumer capabilities, or again, attitude and ability. That would include consumer credit, disposable personal income, monthly retail sales numbers, you know, the employment factor, housing, the market. So we feel good about this, and we think this forecast is a very realistic one and a very, very positive one for the industry.
You know, something that's also important in the holidays is employment, retail employment, and I know that we projected that out. Do you have any thoughts on that? And Jack, you may have some thoughts as well.
So our assessment at this point is that that holiday hiring is going to range between 640,000 and 690,000, which is very consistent with the past few years. You know, retailers are obviously the largest private sector employers in the United States, and responsible for you know, creating 1 in 4 jobs across our economy, and this is very consistent with what we see happening at the holiday season. Could be as high as that upper bound. We expect that this is going to be distributed across the next couple of months. There will be some employment gains this month, maybe pulled forward a little bit, that have normally been registered in November, December, and I think that's a trend that that we've seen, you know, over the past few years as the holiday season has begun earlier. You know, I think some of us would like to have completed all of our holiday shopping already, maybe. Not many of us probably have, but certainly there are people out there that are already doing that, and reflective of that, retailers are doing hiring earlier than they used to do as well. But the, you know, the hiring that's going to occur here is consistent with what's been happening on the employment side for the retail industry over the past several months. Retailers have been adding jobs very consistently for the past 7 or 8 months, and so I think that, this additional level of hiring is going to provide a boost to that existing foundation as those new hires come on board to supplement the existing workforce.
Thank you, Matt. Jack, what insights can you provide about the economy and sales growth this holiday season?
Thanks, Bill. I think we need to begin, first of all, with sort of a backdrop of the national economy and the forecast that I'm considering are actually underpinning our retail sales forecast, looks at the economy to grow at a subpar pace of slightly more than 2% for the third and fourth quarter. So we're really seeing some pickup in the economy. Of course, it's not out breakout speed, but I think looking at key indicators, as Matt has identified, we do feel positive about the outlook in terms of how the economy is going to perform, and certainly there will be issues and some speed bumps going along. It has been an economy that's had fits and starts throughout this year. But as I see it right now, I think we'll see some pickup, especially in the third quarter. Now, when we received the last Friday the BEA's release on consumer income and outlays, it showed a little bit of unsteadiness in some ways, but yet, from my mind, actually, it supports the underpinnings for our forecast. Savings is up. So the ability to spend is there. Income was up on a 3.4% year-over-year basis. Wages were up 3.6%. Also, when you look at consumption, now the consumption figure that the BEA number produces is both for services and for goods. That was up 3.7%. And the reason why I want to point that out is what we have seen over the last few years has been where consumers have shifting some of their spending from goods to services. And I believe that that's going to continue and becomes a bit of an issue from the retailing standpoint. One item that also needs to be considered as we think about spending by consumers is that there's been considerable amount of deflation in the retail marketplace over the last couple of years. So that actually is a benefit to consumers, so they're able to buy more with fewer dollars. Most of the inflation that we've seen has actually been in the service industry and not in the goods industry. And so extra dollars that are coming from income and actually going to personal consumption expenditures have been moved towards services, in particular medical expenses and also and rent. But furthermore, as we think about what's going on with the consumer, I believe based on the data, they have more money in their pockets. They've had expanded use of credit, but they haven't over-leveraged themselves. There's been, obviously, a rise in their wealth. Net worth was reaching its high, all-time high at the end of the second quarter with gains in prices for homes and certainly their investments. As I mentioned, they're really not overextended in terms of their borrowing, which gives them the ability this holiday season also to use a little bit more credit if necessary. The last comment basically I'd like to make is based on what we think is going to happen from a retailer standpoint. They have to have a balance in their equation of inventory, prices, technology, staffing, and certainly effective payment processing. So the details behind their ability of generating the kind of numbers we have are really based on their ability to also get that equation right going forward this year. So in closing, all in all, I think the consumers are in a really good place as we go into the holiday season. And as I've mentioned many times in the past, you just can't discount the power and the capabilities of the consumer. And I think that's going to be the case this year.
Thanks, Jack. Josh, why don't we go ahead and open the line to questions if you'd like to give the instructions, and then I'll start us off.
Certainly, sir. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. And again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now.
Thank you very much, Josh. Matt, let's while the queuing is taking place, let's talk about, real quickly, you just came back from our digital summit in Dallas where there were a number of retail executives, CEOs, CMOs, et cetera. You're about to go to New York. You're going to sit down with the executive committee of our board and having discussions. What's keeping them up at night? I mean, we talk about the elections, but what else are they thinking about?
I think it's the thing that's on the minds of many business people, maybe most business people, and that is the elections and the uncertainty that goes along with an extended period like this where there's a great deal of conversation about what the next year might look like in terms of which way the economy could go based on a leadership. So I think, there's always a thought about what's the strength of the economy. Consumers are very, very strong, as Jack just outlined, and we feel good about that. And what's it take to keep the economy both moving along at the current level and maybe getting even more momentum as we get into the next year. And that speaks to the policy agenda and the regulatory environment. And so what does the next year look like in terms of creating an environment in which businesses are going to feel confident about making even greater levels of investment than they've made over the past few years? That seems to be the thing that's held us back over the past couple of years and during this recovery, broadly speaking, is that the business investment has not been consistent with what we would normally see during a recovery period like the one that we've experienced over the last 5 or 6 years. And much of that, I think, based on what these CEOs talk about regularly, much of that is due to the fact that that the environment in Washington is not conducive to real leadership and real solutions. And so that brings us back to, the conversation about the election and where we're headed with the end of this year and where we'll be going next year. And you have whether you have agreed with or disagreed with what's gone on over the course of the last 8 years in terms of the leadership from the administration in particular, there was at least some level of consistency about that. And now we're entering a period where we don't know what we're going to get next because it will be different from the past 8 years. One potential scenario would be maybe more predictable. The other scenario is a complete wild card and unpredictable. And I think that level of uncertainty always gives business leaders pause because it's hard to make decisions about investment and hiring and everything else unless you have certainty about the environment in which you're going to operate. So I would say that's what's keeping people up at night. The strength of the consumer, I think, is not. I think everyone recognizes consumers are very, very healthy. They're very strong, and there's a real opportunity to meet them where they are this holiday season.
Very good. All right, Josh, let's go ahead and get started.
Thank you. Our first question will come from Lindsay Rupp from Bloomberg News.
Morning, Lindsay. Hi. Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I was wondering what your forecast is for e-commerce spending. Are you expecting, increase along the lines that we've seen in previous years? And also, with this 3.6% increase in retail spending, do you guys expect a lot of that will be going to traditional retailers, or are we going to be seeing, again, this trend of spending on experiences and travel and at smaller independent stores continue? Thanks.
Jack, do you want to handle it?
Yes, well, as Matt mentioned, our forecast for our non-store really includes the forecast for e-commerce. So, in general, e-commerce should be, again, growing this year at a fairly good pace and probably stronger than what we've seen in the last few years. It is representing, when you look at electronic sales that we look at from the census and that category, it represents somewhere close to about 90% of non-store. So, it's going to grow faster than some of the other components. But so our number really is the 7-10%, which includes e-commerce. And largely, I think the fact is that we'll continue to see the strength of it throughout the holiday season.
And it represents what of the overall?
Overall spending for the we're looking at about up to $100 billion, $117 billion for non-store, and our total is in the $600 billion, so 1/6 of some of total spending.
Very good. Thank you, Jack. Josh.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Suzanne Kaffner from the Wall Street Journal.
Hi. Thanks for holding this call. It's very helpful. You know, I do, I agree with you that the consumer seems to be in stronger shape, but as Jack mentioned, there has been this shift from goods to services. And, you know, while they have the ability, excuse me, to spend, they seem to be spending on other things than you would traditionally find in a retail store. So are you not at all concerned that that will continue and even accelerate and, you know, maybe, you know, be a hurdle for, you know, having a good holiday season?
So, Suzanne, this is Matt. What I would say to that is that the opportunity for retailers of all shapes and sizes is to create those compelling experiences. To the extent that you're able to do that and combine that with a very personalized, customized sort of interaction, then retailers can absolutely compete. There's no question that that's where consumers have gone, is more to the experience side, and retailers ought to feel very good about their ability to compete in that environment. However, it's going to require the creative and the resourceful retailers to really take advantage of those opportunities and build those customized experiences that are going to be compelling to shoppers.
Jack, did you want to add to that?
Well, yeah, I think we can underestimate the goods sector here, though. Not unlike last year. I mean, I think, you know, we have this tradition of gift giving. In some ways, these gifts can be in the form of services. But still, you know, in my view, the principal spending will still remain on goods. And, you know, this split between services and goods purchasing, it has changed, but the pattern has sort of stabilized. So I think when I looked at my estimates, I kind of believe that, you know, we were going to see growth. We'd see a little bit more shift, but still overall spending. There's more people working, more people have income, and I think that has to be as big of a factor also as we think about the holiday.
Thank you, Jeff.
Just one quick follow-up. Would you ever consider, I mean, do you include experiential type of gifts in your holiday forecast, or is that not included?
Well, if you're using experiential gifts like travel, no, because that's in a different category of the service sector and not in the retail sector. But it is an important factor. But still, the large portion, if you look at just the dollar value of spending, relatively speaking, it's still on retail goods, especially at this time of the year.
Okay.
Thank you, Suzanne. Josh, next
Thank
question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ann DeNocencio from the AP.
Hi. Thanks for having this call. So my question is, you know, last year you had came out with the original forecast of 3.7% and ended up being 3.0%. And a lot of it was the weather. So can you just talk about how stores are trying to protect themselves this holiday? I mean, are they, have you been hearing from executives that maybe they're scaling back on some of the seasonal items? Or, had, you know, because that was a big deal. I mean, look at Macy's and others that really got caught with a lot of coats and things like that.
This is Jack, and in my conversations with retailers, many of the stores are very watchful in making sure that they don't have over inventory. And I think that if you look at the weather forecasts, which you have to take into consideration, and actually it was one of my underpinnings too, is that the change in the weather that was supposed to occur with the weather patterns coming out of the South Pacific has been delayed. So to a certain extent, even, I mean, I'm sure that you've witnessed it also, that we've had an unusually warm September again, which could impact certain sales, fall sales, and into the holiday season. So my conversations with several retailers had included that they had tried to understand what their inventory levels were last year and not be caught. It's a very delicate balance. And, you know, we really just have to see how it plays out. If the weather patterns do change and we get back to a normal pattern, some of the seasonal purchases will be in time for the holidays, but that's one of the unknowns that really can't forecast very well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Josh?
Thank you. Our next question comes from Courtney Reagan from CNBC.
Hi there, guys. Thank you for holding this call, as others have suggested. I have several questions, but I guess the one that I want to kind of hone in on, and I realize this is sort of a very broad question, but I'm kind of trying to rectify this unhappiness in the American psyche that some sort of point to as part of the rise of Donald Trump, folks being unhappy potentially with their current economic and financial situation. I'm trying to rectify that with this bullish spending forecast. I know other forecasts have also been bullish. A part of it to me, I'm just still a little skeptical, and I'm wondering if there's anything you guys can do to talk me through that question. Thanks.
Courtney, it's Matt. I'll, you know, say based on the, you know, the inputs that we look at that relate to consumer confidence, you know, it's hard to put a number on, you know, sort of the psyche of the electorate, which is being expressed, you know, in sort of political rallies, and say how's that going to translate into either the, you know, University of Michigan or some other consumer sentiment assessment, and then say, will the fact that they are unhappy with the current state of American political affairs mean that they won't go out and celebrate the holidays? And I think to the point that Jack made a minute ago about, you know, this is a time of gift giving, you know, it may be a secular tradition, it may be a religious tradition, depending on your perspective. In this country, we celebrate the end of the year holidays with the tradition of gift giving. I don't get the sense that the gift giving piece is going to be impacted because of frustration about the political process. I think consumers make a distinction, and they have the ability to say, throw the bums out on one hand, and yet say, I still, you know, love those important people in my life, and I want to give them a gift as an expression of my love. We didn't pick up that there was an inconsistency between those two things. However, I think it is true that the candidates, and certainly one of the candidates, has done really an enormous job of trying to talk down both the current state of America and maybe the future state. But yeah, if you believed what you heard from one of those candidates, for sure you would say,
yeah,
things are terrible out there. Why would I ever go celebrate anything? I should be crawling under a rock. and I don't think that we've seen that reflected in what we've tried to incorporate into the forecast.
Jack,
great. And then just a quick follow-up, if I could. Go ahead, Jack.
Well, I think we got to look at it, the broader picture. It would be a completely different story if we had higher unemployment, but now we're getting very close to full employment. The consumer confidence and the consumer sentiment is suggesting that actually people are looking okay at their finances. So I do think it's kind of, you know, a part of the times that we live in. There's the political state of the economy, which you have people looking at, and I don't know if that will continue on after this election. I think it probably raises some concerns. But if you look at the fundamentals, I think you have to run on the fundamentals, and that is we've been adding jobs, we've been getting wages. Yeah, we aren't at a breakout speed. We could do much better. 2% is subpar growth, but I don't see where people are going to just fall off the side of the world and not spend. And we've already seen it. I mean, even the car sales that came out yesterday was stronger again. So people are buying things, and I think it's just we have to separate what their attitudes toward the political world of the United States and then separate it from the economic fundamentals that we've been talking about.
Great. And then I guess this is a follow-up. I mean, have you looked at or do you look at what typically happens with spending patterns in election cycles around the holidays, meaning is spending somewhat restrained until after the election, or is it just restrained until after the election because, quite frankly, the election always happens right at the beginning of November?
This is Jack, and I'll turn it back to Matt in a moment because I think it's just a delay. We know that, you know, in your world of media, that a lot of time will be captured by the political candidates both at the federal, state, and local level. And that will displace or crowd out some spending, especially in some key states or in some key communities. But I don't believe that that's going to actually reduce the amount of spending. I think people kind of have in their mind what they're going to plan on spending this year. Our expectations is going to be a good year. But to the extent that it would reduce the dollar value of spending, I don't believe that. I think the number really kind of includes that we continue the momentum that we've seen of general spending in the economy and an improvement over last year's holiday sales.
Well, thanks, Jack.
Yeah, Courtney, I think we were not able to discern that there was any meaningful impact here as we went back and looked at past years. I mean, there have been various studies done on the, I talked about uncertainty in the economy. There have been various economic assessments done of whether there's a measurable effect on GDP and other broad economic indicators of uncertainty, particularly in election years. And there's at least one study that goes all the way back into the 30s that says in the at the end of a two or month, in the case of Roosevelt, but in the year of the end of a 2 year incumbent's term, when you're going to get a new candidate one way or the other, that would have been 2008, 2016. What happens? And there was some suggestion that it was something more than a normal year in terms of an impact on GDP growth, but we couldn't find anything. If you went back to 2008, we were in the middle of a recession. If you went back to 2000, similarly. So we're not able to correlate, what this year election impact, because the economy was so different in those years that it's really, you can't make an apples to apples comparison with any of those years because the consumers were in a different place and so was the economy.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Gordon. Josh?
Thank you. Our next question comes from Bill Waba from Fortune.
Hello, Phil.
Good morning to you both. Thank you for taking my question. So I know, Matt, you were very polite and you didn't name names when you were talking about one scenario in the election result, but I'm just trying to think, does the forecast sort of make an expectation of who might win? And I'm asking specifically because one of the candidates, has feuded with Macy's, has said he would go after Amazon. A lot of retailers depend on labor that's Hispanic, and if this candidate wins, there could be a lot of agita in the retail industry. And I'm just wondering, what are your thoughts on that? And does the projection make any assumptions on who's going to win?
So I'll let Jack give you the two-letter, one-word answer to that, which I think is no. But he can speak to this. And Phil, as much as I would love to have the political conversation, this is not about this isn't a political assessment. This is an economic forecast. I alluded to the uncertainty, and there are obviously numerous policy changes that we'd like to see. We've talked about those before. I certainly have. I would say that we are not particularly encouraged by either candidate's platform on a number of issues. Certainly the most obvious and most frightening, I think, for all of us should be the position that both candidates have staked out on trade. I mean, we have decades of very solid, irrefutable experience to suggest that open trade borders and the free trade are very beneficial for the entire economy, and yet we've got the two leading candidates running for the presidency of the United States suggesting very vocally to the contrary. That should be frightening for every one of us. So on that issue, straight on down to a number of others. We are not encouraged by the policy perspectives of either candidate. None of this is a factor in the forecast. The NRF does not take positions nor become engaged in presidential elections, although we do on other congressional offices. But I think we shouldn't be particularly excited about either candidate's perspective on a number of things. Tax reform would be one that obviously we would put very high on the list as something that needs to happen. There are examples are legion in the economy about why we need a more competitive tax code. I think there seems to be broad bipartisan support that there should be something done. Obviously, it's a question of what should be done. We could talk about infrastructure investment and how beneficial we believe that would be for the economy and make us more competitive and make us a more efficient 21st century economy. Immigration, there are numbers of others. So there are many policy changes that we think need to occur. We will obviously work with whomever is elected, just as we have worked for the past 8 years and for the 8 years prior to that with those administrations, in both cases very successfully on a variety of issues. And so it's not necessarily partisan, but you do need collaborative Congress and a willing Congress, and I think the best that we could hope for, and certainly we are working for, is an outcome in all of the elections this year that will send a message to all elected officials that there is an expectation that some of these things will actually get done in the next Congress. And Jack can reiterate.
Well, you said there's a two-letter word, no, and there are bigger uncertainties that we have to think about. I mean, certainly slower global growth, geopolitical uncertainties, the stronger dollar, low oil prices, all these are major components which you start to think about how the economy is performing. I mean, this is a big aircraft carrier. It's not going to turn on a dime. So, yes, there's a lot of rhetoric today, but as I see through the murkiness, if you will, of all this that's going on, the track record we see is that the consumer continues to be the driver. And yes, these changes in policies could occur, but it will be some time, and we'll have to see what the outcome is. And there's just no way that I felt or we felt that we would put a number on that or factor it into our forecast.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Josh.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sarah Halzack from The Washington Post.
Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, and thanks for doing the call. My question sort of dovetails with what Ann asked earlier. I think we all remember last year the initial forecast was for 3.7%, and then it didn't quite come in that way. It came in at around 3%. And I guess I just wonder, the consumer was in relatively good shape last fall, too. Surely we've had continued progress, but last fall, we saw some strengthening there. Gas prices were low. So what gives you confidence that this time around we're going to see something different than what we saw last year?
This is Jack. Well, we have a lot more people working than we did last year. Unemployment has fallen a bit. Net worth is up. House prices are better. I think there's other indications that you go back over and look at it. Remember, we also, in the fall of last year, had a major adjustment with the Chinese credit issue that plunged, and I think that caused a shock to the economy more so, and it kind of carried over into the fall to a degree. And as long as we don't have one of those shocks and the carryover, that's one of the kind of underpinnings for our thought process. But when you kind of go down the number of indicators, our general sense of the economy is that we're in better shape than we were last year. And I think that you kind of have to put some more emphasis on that. Last year was off for a number of reasons. Our belief is that there is a lot more strength in this economy. Yes, there's some uncertainty, but you know, the indications are, and we'll see better this week when we get indications on unemployment claims for the month and the employment growth and other indications. My feeling is that we'll see a little bit stronger third quarter, and I think that'll help us underwrite why we have this projection this year.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. Josh?
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tanya Garcia from MarketWatch.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking the question. I guess I was hoping you could elaborate just a bit more on consumer behavior. We've heard, oh, some people are shopping really early, but then the election is coming up at the beginning of November. Maybe it's going to, you know, cool down, or the weather is forecast to cool down, and that might have an impact. You know, I was hoping maybe just a little bit more about, you know, when do you see people shopping a little bit more or less? How do you see them using digital, but maybe even, you know, if you could talk a little bit about mobile, you know, just a little bit more insight into, you know, how things might play out over the next few months.
Well, this is Jack again. Well, there's a number of questions there, and thinking about it, yes, I think that the shopping season has unofficially begun. Merchandise, holiday decorations, etc. We hear from consumers that they've already begun and they're shopping. The question becomes is when are they shopping and when are they purchasing? And we believe that they're shopping already and they're using the internet and mobile technology to get an idea of what they're thinking about to buy. And that began last year, and that's part of the reasons why I think last year's forecast was a little bit off is we saw an earlier holiday season well before Halloween. Usually we had seen the holiday season begin right after Halloween, but it started earlier last year, and I think it's going to continue this year. There's no doubt that retailers are investing in new technology, mobile apps, to try to engage the consumer from various standpoints, various channels, which will, I think, take some pressure off of these companies who hadn't invested in the past. But it's a very competitive marketplace out there. And as again, I'm going to just reiterate, I think they're shopping. And the question becomes is when will they be buying? So with the election in its time, I think, you know, once it's past the second week in November, we're back in game time again. And, of course, some of the issues regard to advertising and promotion that we are getting from the candidates, it's not going to be in every community. It's really going to be targeted in various localities. So we can't underestimate the fact that there's a lot of regional economies out there, and they're going to be performing differently. And I think that also is going to speak to this election too. And so some places we'll see different ads than others because of the election, but also there'll be increased promotion and advertising for retailers this season.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Josh, since we're getting closer to the top of the hour, let's take a couple more.
All right. Our next question will come from Nandita Bose from Reuters News.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Just wondering if you have any estimates on average spending per shopper this year and how much is that sort of likely to go up? And my second question is on the Thanksgiving weekend. We've kind of, for the past couple of years, seen how Black Friday has sort of lost its significance and, you know, considering you've been talking about sort of this improvement that you're expecting, do you see that changing this year? Or do you sort of see shopping, do you expect it to remain fragmented through the season? Thank you.
Hi, Bill Thorne. A couple of things. One is, as far as consumer expectations, we will have that, as we have in the past, the end of the month, the end of October, to kind of get a sense of who's doing what, how much they're spending, and how much they intend to spend. And as it relates to the earlier shopping, I think that, you know, this has been a trend that's been around for a very long time. Somebody brought to my attention the other day a 1996 article in the New York Times talking about shopping, Christmas shopping starting as early as Halloween. So this is not necessarily a new trend. However, I think that, you know, if it wasn't working for retailers, they wouldn't be doing it. Obviously, the consumer is buying, so the retailers are going to respond in kind. So I don't think that it's going to be greater or less. I just believe that what you'll see is that, and when we put out the numbers in October, that they'll probably be pretty consistent with the past as it relates to when they started shopping, what they intend to, where they intend to shop, and how much they intend to spend.
Okay. So once you come out with, say, your Thanksgiving weekend numbers, and if they are still sort of lackluster, that is not going to be indicative of the season in any which way. Is that fair to assume?
Yes. It's fair to assume that the numbers as they relate to Black Friday weekend shopping continue to kind of, stagnate's not the word, but I mean it is done over a period of time. And so where it used to be that, Black Friday was the official start of the holiday sales season, that has started before. They're having Black Friday Fridays, 2 to 3 weeks before the actual Thanksgiving holiday. So I think that what you're seeing is it's spread out, and while actually, there are people, and it does surge because it is a family tradition or something that they've done over a period of time, or the retailers are offering even deeper discounts, that it's still an important time of the year for our retailers, but it is more spread out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question.
Our next question comes from David Moyne from Women's Wear Daily.
Hey, thanks for taking the question. Do you guys have any sense of what categories might do better than others, specifically apparel, or is that for the end of October survey?
Yeah, hey, Dave, it's Matt Shea. I think this goes in the category of the things Bill was talking about. This will be part of the survey and the data that we put out at the end of the month that will speak to consumer preferences, both in terms of total amounts of spending per household as well as categories.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yep, you're welcome.
Well, Josh, I appreciate your help with the call. I appreciate everybody who's joined us. For any additional information, if you have any questions, you can reach out to our media team at press@nrf.com or call our toll-free number 855-NRF-PRESS. You can check out our holiday headquarters as well at nrf.com/holidays. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Jack. And that will end our call.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.